on, that they had committed in this life, in the current lifetimes, every single sin in existence. Every single sin. But there had been one sin they hadn't committed. That was, they hadn't committed Vaishnava Parad. But then they did. And unfortunately, I mean, to offend any Vaishnava is bad enough, but they chose Lord Nityananda to offend. So they were really in a terrible situation. So when Yamaraj heard this, what was, because he was aware of the extent, the incredible extent of their sins. But when he heard that they had just been delivered just like that by Lord Nityananda's mercy and Lord Chaitanya's mercy, then Yamaraj, when he heard what Chitragupta said, he collapsed in ecstasy. He was on his chariot. He just fell unconscious on the floor of his chariot, just fell like a stick onto the floor. And Chitragupta and all his assistants, they became very worried. What's happened to our Lord Yamaraj? So the other demigods who were there, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Anantashesh was there, Narada, Indra, Sukadeva Goswami was there. All the demigods were there, and they'd all been witnessing, and they were now just about to go home. So they were performing kirtan, but then they noticed that Lord Yamaraj's chariot had stopped. And they looked over and they couldn't see Yamaraj. And they saw that Chitragupta and the assistants were in anxiety. So Shiva, Brahma and company, they came over to see what had happened to Lord Yamaraj. And then they saw Yamaraj lying unconscious on the floor of the chariot. So they were astonished. And they didn't know what happened. Then Chitragupta explained to them about Jagai and Madhai, who they were, and what it was like, what their condition had been like. And then he said, actually, I think what has happened here is that Lord Yamaraj has become overcome with Krishna prema. I think that's what's happened. So then all the demigods gathered around Yamaraj and they started chanting in Yamaraj's ear, into his ears. So that revived Yamaraj. Suddenly Yamaraj just leapt up into the air and he started dancing and shouting madly in ecstasy. And all the other demigods, when they saw that Yamaraj was just so overwhelmed and they were just considering more and more deeply the real import of the deliverance of Jagai and Madhai, so they also started to get infected with this mood of ecstasy. So Lord Shiva started dancing, Narada Muni started dancing, Lord Brahma started dancing, Lord Indra started dancing. I think Narada Muni was leading the kirtan, and they started having this big kirtan. And more, as they were thinking, Yamaraj was particularly ecstatic, and he was just calling out, all glories to Lord Chaitanya, all glories to Lord Nityananda, just again and again, Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya, Jai Nityananda, just in ecstasy. And his body was becoming overcome with all symptoms of ecstasy. Tears, shivering of the body, rolling on the ground. Then Lord Shiva, he started becoming so ecstatic that, and he was dancing so wildly, even more wildly than he dances at the time of universal devastation, that even all his clothes came flying off, but he didn't notice. He was just dancing and dancing. And then Ganesh and Kartikeya, they were also dancing in great ecstasy. Lord Brahma was dancing with Kasyapa, Kardama, Daksha, Bhrigu Muni. Narada was dancing in ecstasy with tears of love flowing in streams from his eyes, and he even dropped his veena. He was just dancing madly, just thinking about this most incredible mercy. Sukadeva Goswami was rolling, was chanting, Jaghai Madhai, Jaghai Madhai, and just rolling in on the ground. Then Lord Indra, he's a very interesting person. It's a bit of a long story, but it ended up that he has 1,000 eyes on his body. All over, there are just these eyes. So Lord Indra, he started to become so overwhelmed in ecstasy that tears just started pouring from all the 1,000 eyes. And normally Lord Indra feels embarrassed. There's a whole story behind it, and it's a very embarrassing story for Lord Indra. And it's embarrassing enough having your body covered with eyes. But Lord Indra was thinking, how wonderful that I've got these 1,000 eyes, so I can just cry in ecstasy unrestrictedly. So he was taking it that this curse is a blessing. And he was just rolling on the ground. Anantashesh was dancing with Garuda. So then, the scene shifts. Let's see. So, after this, Jaghai and Madhai, of course, they're delivered. They're completely delivered. They're pure devotees. They're situated in Krishna Prem. And they're completely accepted by all the devotees. And it's just so different. It's completely inconceivable from how they were. Completely inconceivable. But Madhai, who was the one who had harmed Lord Nityananda, Madhai could never forget what he did to Lord Nityananda. So even though he was on the level of Krishna Prem, and actually he was in great ecstasy and he was completely accepted amongst the devotees, but he was at the same time constantly being overwhelmed with the deepest misery and sorrow because of his remembrance of what he'd done to Lord Nityananda. So I'll just read a little bit of what it says here. Jaghai and Madhai were now completely transformed persons by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. They were very devoted and examples of pillars of piety. Before sunrise, they took bath in the Ganges and sat down and each chanted 2 lakhs of Krishna's names. They always condemned themselves for their lowly position out of humility, and with tears in their eyes, they incessantly chanted Krishna's holy names. When memories of their older sinful ways plagued them, they fell unconscious to the ground, repentant and weeping. They cried out, "Oh, most merciful Lord Chaitanya, Savior of the fallen souls." And remembering the Lord's mercy again and again, they shed tears of joy. Madhai especially felt greatly afflicted each time he remembered how horribly he had struck Lord Nityananda. Although Lord Nityananda had forgiven him, Madhai was far from feeling exhilarated. He would say to himself, "I've hurt Lord Nityananda. I've drawn blood from his body. In his body resides Lord Chaitanya, and I am so sinful that I've struck such a personality." Saying this, Madhai punished himself. Madhai was unable to contain his feelings as such memories flooded his mind. And day and night he cried. Nothing else came to his mind. One day, Madhai found Lord Nityananda all alone. He threw himself down and embraced the lotus feet of the Lord. So then, he glorifies Lord Nityananda, very nice prayers. And then he starts repenting. And it's quite amazing what he says in his repentance. Let's see. Let us see. He says many things, but that the whole Lord, the whole cosmic manifestation is resting on your chest. Your body is very soft and gives Lord Krishna great pleasure when you expand yourself as his bed and he lies on you. But I am so monstrous and sinful that I hurt the same transcendental body of yours. Who is more wretched than I? Then he explains that in the past, many people offended you and you killed them. When you appeared as Lord Balaram, then Dravida Gorilla, he tried to attack you and kill you, and you killed him. When you appeared as Lakshman, then Indrajit tried to kill you, and you killed him. In fact, Indrajit struck you and hurt you, so later you killed him. Then, when Rukmi, Krishna's brother-in-law, simply insulted you verbally, you killed him. And not only that, but when the Kauravas, headed by Duryodhana and Dushasana, when you came to Hastinapur to try to arrange for the release of, who was it? Samba, was it? Samba, who had tried to kidnap Lakshmana, was it? Then you were going to drag the whole city into the Yamuna and kill everyone, all the inhabitants of the whole city, just for those verbal offenses. And when Romahashana Sutta offended you, all he did was that he didn't get up off his seat when you came into that assembly of sages in Naimasharanya. So for that, you killed him. So what about me? I tried to kill you. I struck your body. So what is due to me? So in this way, Madhai is lamenting that I've done such a horrible thing to you. But despite that, you've given me so much mercy. And I just become bewildered. I just don't know what to do. I just can't comprehend it all. And so I become overwhelmed. So then Lord Nityananda replied, well, at the end, Madhai says that the shelter of your lotus feet can save anyone from the endless cycle of rebirth. You have appeared simply to deliver the most fallen. So my dear Lord, kindly protect this fallen soul surrendered to you. For you are my life and soul and my most treasured goal. All glories to you, Lord Nityananda, the darling son of Padmavati Devi. You are the most precious jewel of all the Vaishnava devotees. You are completely freed from anger, always submerged in the highest state of blissfulness. You're always inclined to forgive those who have surrendered to you. And I am the most atrocious animal and offender. So kindly forgive me, Lord, for all my offenses. So Lord Nityananda smiled, hearing the loving words offered to him by Madhai, and said, get up, arise, Madhai. You're my servitor. I've already accepted you. I now reside within your body. Is the father disturbed if his little child hits him? I accepted your beating in this parental mood. What is more important is that anyone who hears your wonderful devotional prayers to me will certainly develop loving attachment to my lotus feet. You're the recipient of my Lord's mercy. Therefore, you're free from all blame. Whoever worships my Lord Chaitanya becomes most dear to me, and I offer him my protection eternally. But if anyone disregards Lord Chaitanya and worships me independently and sings my glories, I will cause him pain birth after birth. Lord Nityananda then embraced Madai and took away all his misery. So then, Madhai fell at the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda and asked Lord Nityananda that, that's very kind of you, but what about all the other people I offended? I killed and robbed, and it's too terrible to remember. So then Lord Nityananda told Madhai that what you do, you build one bathing ghat down by the Ganges by your own labor. And then when people come, everyone will come to take bath occasionally there. So when anyone comes, immediately you go and throw yourself at that person's feet, and you beg that person that if I've offended you knowingly or unknowingly, then please forgive me. So then Madhai, he took that order on his head. He built one bathing ghat, and for the rest of his life, he sat by that bathing ghat. And when people would come, he would simply throw himself at their feet and beg them like that. So he spent the rest of his life doing that. And that ghat is not there, but the Ganges has moved, but the place is there, Madhai ghat. So, in this way, Lord Nityananda gave his mercy to Jagai and Madhai. There's one other song, maybe we can sing it one of the other days, about the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And when I think it's Narottam Das, is giving an example that they're so merciful, he says, Tar Sakshi Jagai Madhai. The evidence of their mercy is Jagai and Madhai. So, any questions or comments? Remember you? Well, the idea is that when you surrender to Krishna, that your previous sins, you know, that's not like Vaishnava aparada or aparada of a spiritual nature, but that's pap. We've certainly committed many sins and caused pain to many living beings. So when we surrender to Krishna, we're delivered from that. But, you know, one can, if one is feeling, you know, some sort of sentiment like that, that I would like to do something, then, you know, perhaps it would be best just to dedicate oneself to preaching and spreading Krishna consciousness to help the people, and in this way perhaps make up for any offenses like that. But actually, it's a fact that whatever reactions there would be, they would be made up, they would be destroyed when one surrenders to Krishna, actually. Srila Prabhupada said that if you offend devotees unknowingly, you know, it may happen any time, but particularly it may have happened in our earlier days in this movement. that we wouldn't have really known so much what is offense. So we probably committed many offenses which we didn't. And, you know, some reaction would be there, but we wouldn't really know now. So we wouldn't really be in a position to go back to any of those people and try and approach them in the Vaishnava way and beg forgiveness. So Prabhupada said that what you do in those cases is that every morning you recite that Vaishnav pranam, Vanchakalpatarubhyas Chakripa Sindhubhyavacha, Paritanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. And that will make up for any aparads which you committed, like, unknowingly previously. So, like that. The thing was that Madhai was so overwhelmed that even though everything had already been delivered, been removed by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, by the grace of Lord Nityananda, but still Madhai was feeling so overwhelmed. Therefore Lord Nityananda made this special request that you do like this. Therefore he did like that. Any other questions or comments? Kailash?
This is a small point in the extension to the question that in the Vaishnava etiquette outlined by the Bhagavad, there is a part which talks about like how the devotee should respect elderly people, and it's in brackets like the parents. I was just wondering, like, any kind of friends or offending parents, like devotees offending parents, like elderly people, what kind of
thing? Oh, yeah, you can't offend anyone. There'll be consequences. Even with the most ordinary people, or even degraded people, if you treat them in a not a nice way, which, you know, one may feel possibly that, particularly if the people are very degraded, one may feel that, oh, you know, these people. So one may speak to them in a way which isn't nice. I mean, what to speak of parents, anyone. There'll be consequences, so devotee won't offend even an ant. Devotee won't offend even an ant. Like Shivananda Sen, that one dog joined the party of devotees, became attached to Shivananda Sen particularly, on the way to Jagannath Puri. But then one day Shivananda Sen forgot to feed the dog because he was so busy making arrangements for Lord Nityananda, actually, and the other devotees who were in the party. So Shivananda Sen was in great anxiety that, and because he forgot to feed the dog went running away, because the dog was hungry, so the dog went elsewhere to find food. So Shivananda Sen was feeling in anxiety as they continued on to Jagannath Puri that I offended this dog. And when he got to Jagannath Puri, what should he see? But there was the dog with Lord Chaitanya somehow. And Lord Chaitanya was feeding green coconut pulp or some coconut pulp to that dog. And when Shivananda Sen saw the dog again, he went up to the dog and offered his obeisances to the dog. Yeah. Then that dog went back to Godhead a few days later. So, you know, he was just taking it that I offended this living being, I forgot to feed him, and he became so offended he went away. So therefore he offered his obeisances to the dog. So we definitely shouldn't offend parents or anyone. Of course, we can't compromise our Krishna consciousness. Our parents may want us to do this or that material things for them. And if we, you know, try to excuse ourselves from those things in order to do our important services in Krishna consciousness, then they may not appreciate it. and therefore they may, you know, chastise us or try, there may be some sort of dispute, and they may feel offended. I mean, not that we may have really offended them, but they may feel offended. But in that case, the higher principle of Krishna consciousness is really the thing to consider. Yeah, generally speaking, Krishna consciousness would come first. Otherwise you can end up being entangled. But not that you should abuse your parents. Or like one boy, I was told, went when he went back to... Actually, Prabhupada told Brahmananda, when he was to meet his parents for the first time since becoming a devotee, Prabhupada told him that, it's in the Lilamrita, I think, you go up to your mother and you offer your obeisances. So, and that was Prabhupada's attitude. But I know one boy went up to his mother and told him that you're just a stool bag and I'm not really your son. Which, I mean, you know, from a certain angle of vision, there may be something to be said for that philosophically, because these bodies are certainly most inglorious and so on. And, you know, your father and mother are not really your father and mother, certainly ultimately in true reality. But, you know, we don't deal like that. That's not the recommended process in that regard.
I did meet one lady of Sankirtan in America, and she said, oh, you're the Hare Krishna, she took my son away. She said, now he calls us pigs.
Krishna. Well, we don't, I mean, we can't control what all the devotees say all the time, but we don't encourage them to say things like that at all. Falling conditioned souls are falling conditioned souls, but we should be merciful to them and be nice and treat them in such a way that they may become favorable to Krishna consciousness. Of course, how you do that may vary from person to person, but, you know, to be offensive to them like that is not really one of the ways of dealing with them. I was with one devotee once. We were distributing books somewhere in England, and some people tried to take a book from him without paying or something, so there was an argument about it. And he got very frustrated, and he was trying to think of something to say to them, but he couldn't. So in the end, he just said to them that, you're in Maya. And they couldn't really relate to that. So we should try and deal with people in such a way that they can relate and they may learn something. I mean, not just things like that, offensive things.
Just in that way, I was told Brahmananda to go his obeisance to his mother. I was just listening to a cable from reiterating that he told them.
Really?
And the one devotee was asking, oh, and Prabhupada said, yes, she's very nice. After all, she's produced two nice sons. So she's not an ordinary mother. And then Prabhupada said to the same mother, he told her, he asked her for a donation, can you give me some money? She said, I've given you two sons, and now you want money?
Yes. Any other comments or questions? Sri Nityananda Mahaprabhu ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.